blocks of what I would say is a successful culture. And so what I want to talk about is what I have kind of put together as six elements. Now, to be honest, you know, in the future we're going to have all different kinds of integrated systems if we're successful with this endeavor and the like. And I'm not in any way suggesting they're all going to be like Kaiser Permanente or Kaiser. But I do think, from my observation, that to some degree or other, each one of these elements, and I'll go through them individually so I'll read them, each one of these elements, in one way or the other, is going to be on the critical path. And it may take a while to get there. So the first thing that I noticed that when I went to Geisinger was that the physicians there and the others, the nurses, the others I met, they didn't talk about income. They didn't talk about revenue. They didn't talk about capital plans. What they talked about was how they were organized in order to take good care of the patients. That in fact their driving force in coming to work every day was about something other than financial interest. Now, I didn't count the number of Ferraris or Mercedes in the parking lot, but I did have the sense that that was not their primary interest. What they had was, in fact, a sense of shared accountability and common destiny. And they had, in fact, invested their careers, their lives, and their personal reputations in that healthcare delivery system. Now, I use the term governance here lightly because I don't necessarily mean a corporate board, but I do mean whatever process is put together in one of these organizations to make decisions, both decisions that are structural, that are financial, and decisions that are clinical. And physicians being the ornery sort of individuals that they are, not pediatricians, the rest of them, there's a sense, I think, as with many professionals, I'm not counting academic faculty, there's a sense of need for involvement in the decisions that the institution is making and the degree to which those decisions impact one's life and one's capabilities as a professional. So the sense is that process, whatever it is, needs to be based on some set of principles. That it's not a random event that changes every year depending upon what the marketplace says or what somebody reads in a self-improvement handbook. That it needs to have a sense of permanence, it needs to be participatory in some way, and it needs to be perceived as equitable. And there are many paths to get there, I'm sure. I think Bernadette mentioned that physician leadership is important. Well, what does that really mean? It doesn't mean creating an organization, finding somebody with an MD after the name and sticking them on the top of the organizational chart somewhere and saying we have physician leadership. You might if that was an extraordinary individual, but our experience, and I think this gets to a little bit what Bernadette talked about, you have to find the right individuals and they have to be in all the levels of authority and influence in the organization, not just one person at the top, because that person ends up As President Kennedy said when he first got into the Oval Office, I had a lot of levers on my desk and I kept pulling them, but then I looked under the desk and realized they weren't connected to anything. The individuals need to be the physicians in this case need to be multi-knowledgeable. Most of them hopefully are selected for their job because they understand the practice of medicine. But at Kaiser Permanente, we put in the career of the individuals who've had this predilection, leadership and management, thousands of dollars per individual to make sure that those individuals understood not just clinical medicine, but they understood the business of healthcare, they understood all the elements and the lingo that needed to go into being a full participant in running a complex organization. You need to find these individuals as early as you can, as I said, put them in training, and then find the people who are capable of creating followership. Because leadership can only go so far if the individuals who need to be led, who need to be influenced, are not willing to do that. And that's one of the ineffable sorts of qualities that you find when you examine individuals as leaders. The leadership has to match the management structure. And again, the management structure, and again, I'm talking about the physician culture here, needs to be multi-level. There needs to be physician involvement, in our case, at the facility level, at the department level, and at the level of committees and groups that are making important decisions. We have the firm belief that cross-specialty collective responsibility is important to do, and this is a challenge for some new models, I understand. That the matrix model, and in this case what it means is that there are kind of two kinds of decisions that you're going to make in an organization like this. And some of these in our setting are geographic, like what is the San Francisco Medical Center going to do about providing cardiovascular surgery to its patients? And that, those decisions tend to get made at that institution. But then there's another set of issues, which is what are we going to do in our system when the science behind the care of prostate cancer changes? And we have to make decisions about what is the appropriate recommendation to urologists about the care of patients with prostate cancer. And that's not a geographic decision in our setting. It's a decision that's made by the expert, in this case, urologists, across the system. And those are generally individuals who are recognized for their expertise and their knowledge of the literature. And so we evolved into this matrix sort of decision-making, and I think it's sounds complicated, but it actually takes a fair amount of work, which then leads to very quick decision-making and dissemination. So it's an upfront investment. And then, of course, the issue of data is absolutely critical for all the reasons you heard from the former panel. The incentives, you know, have to be shared, and they have to be aligned as much as possible within the physician practice, between the physician practice and the hospital entity, the extent that that's possible, and even ultimately with the payers. And they need to involve more than financial, and I put financial there purposely last, because I think there are many arguments that, if you just focus on the financial, then the first three, quality, care, experience, and affordability, tend to get ignored. And so at Kaiser Permanente, and I would say as an acid test for newly forming accountable care organizations or whatever we're going to call them, each one of those four areas needs to be present. And if either, any one of them is ignored, then you have an organization likely headed towards failure. In the area of financial incentives, I just want to show this matrix. This is a little bit derived from Karen's chart that she showed briefly, which is kind of the direction that delivery system reform could or might take, not necessarily all the way up to the upper right-hand corner. But it's important to understand that when you're thinking about incentives that involve risk assumption, there are a number of ways to think about it. One way is to think about it in terms of the part of the healthcare dollar expended that's included in the risk assumption. From the simplest primary care on the left, especially here, hospital costs, referral costs, and pharmaceutical costs. And then on the other axis, I don't get X and Y mixed up, there's a degree of risk assumption. For fee-for-service, which is nothing risk assumption-wise, fee-for-service with bonus, which is the original model for ACOs in the ACA, bonus plus and minus, and then what I call CARTA, or shared risk capitation, and ultimately full risk capitation. And you know, this is kind of the progression we went through. This is where the Medicare group practice demo lived. The original ACA shared savings model was there, and then moved up a bit on the chart. This is kind of the model, I won't get into the detail, but that we have used traditionally in the Permanente medical groups, which is we undertake as physicians some risk, and then we share other risks with the health plan as a payer. This is the so-called California delegated model, where some organizations are large enough to have the capital capacity to be able to assume all of the risk. You know, there were a number of disasters in this area in the 1990s, but there have also been some successes. And this is where I would put the medical home initiative, and I just bring this up in the bundled payment initiative. I just bring it up Not necessarily to say that those aren't an important element in the evolution here, but that by their nature, they're somewhat limited. Because my prejudice is that the further out and up one moves on this, for many of the reasons that Bernadette pointed out, the more likely it is that you're going to have an organization which will ultimately succeed. You don't have to go there in one step, but I think an organization that doesn't have in mind progressive movement across this chart is probably not going to get where it needs to go. And then the last one, and this is some of the work I'm doing right now at AMA, is the recognition that, you know, in order to have that effective physician leadership and the kind of buy-in or participation or engagement that some people like to use the term, we have to do something about the fact that there is a significant minority of physicians who are very uncomfortable with the practice of medicine. And as Karen said, women recommend it to their own children. This is not at base financial, although you'll find examples of physicians who are angry about income. A lot of it has to do with other or related issues. Work load increases, some of which is driven by the innate illness and the society aging and life, some of which is self-imposed by target income. Administrative complexity, we hear continually from physicians, taking physicians away from patient contact. And some of the fact that, you know, people complain about 5-minute and 10-minute visits is not that it's being driven economically, some of it is, but some of it's being driven by the fact that the physician has to be somewhere else during the day to do other tasks, and some of that is derived from external, I think, imposition. There's the issue of capital. There's increasing pressure to seek hospital employment, some for the reason that Mark Miller talked about, which is it's a better way for cardiologists and others to get paid, but some of it just simply because physicians are frightened about the future and they're subject to being brought in by hospitals. And then, and honestly, in some of the work I've been doing, the key element when you actually dive into this issue with physicians is this. I go home at night because I've had to work too long, I couldn't see the patients, I couldn't record the information properly, I didn't have enough time to do preventive medicine, with the belief that I just didn't do my job. You know, I just wasn't a real professional. And that's the most corrosive, erosive element. So one of the things we're doing in AMA under Jim Madera's leadership and the work of others and I'm focused on is to try to understand in real time, you know, what are some of those change models that are going on around the country. We focused on the 6 states as exemplars and try to pull that information out. We should be finished this work by July and then create some new information about models of practice structure, models of hospital-physician relationships, payment models, and the like, which may cast some light on the directions that physicians can lead other physicians towards, I think, a better future for themselves and for everybody. We have an advisory committee for this work. You'll recognize some names on there. And as I said, we have engaged our colleagues at Rand Health, some of whom are here today, to help us with this work, and they're out in the field right now, and we hope by the fall or so to have some new information to bring to this important topic. Thank you very much.
Hi, everyone. So I just want to start out with one of the things that one of my colleagues, Professor Richard Scheffler at UC Berkeley, told me is if you're under a certain age, you shouldn't try to be funny in your presentation. So I'm going to leave the jokes to Bernadette and Jay. Forum out of UC Berkeley's School of Public Health. And today I'm going to be talking about a new vision for California's healthcare system, integrated care with aligned financial incentives. So what I'd like to do is walk you through a little bit of an overview about who the Berkeley Forum is, then talk about California's relative performance when it comes to healthcare spending, talk about the Berkeley Forum vision to bend the cost curve